Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most gracious Father, we love you and praise you, Father. We thank you for this very, very special day. We thank you for that you put it in the minds of this nation, the minds of this world, that we set a day aside where we give glory and honor to our mothers for the sacrifices they have made for us. Father, this morning we will talk about Jesus' mother and how special she was. Allow this message, Father, to be your message. Allow the words out of my mouth to be your words. Allow the Holy Spirit to move through this sanctuary to touch each and every one of our hearts. Speak to us. Encourage us. Convict us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 There was a little boy who was in a Sunday school program. He was in a play and he had a part to say. But when it came for him to say his lines, he forgot. He forgot his line. He went blank. His mother was in the front row to prompt him to say his words, but when she did that, he forgot everything. And so what does a good mother do? She began to silently mouth the words to her son. Her son read the lips. Her mother had said, "I am the light of the world." So the young boy said to himself, "I got this, I got this. Now I know what to say. My mother has given me the clue. I am the light of the world." And then in a loud, clear voice, he recited his lines and said, "My mother is the light of the world." Today is Mother's Day. Today is a very special day. And yes, mothers are the light of the world. This is the day where we thank God for mothers and grandmothers and all the surrogate mothers who make this world go around. Amen. Amen. I mean, let's be honest, man. Women carry a child in their womb for 9 months. When that baby is conceived, inside of her grows a human being. And it's amazing. The stomach gets bigger, the baby gets bigger. It's totally amazing how that baby develops. And then the mother gives birth. And that's a testimony to God's greatness. When you see a child being born, you can't help but say, "Look at God." You can't help but say, "What a miracle." What a testimony to God's greatness. And God has chosen women to give birth to life. How special is that? And I know every mother that's had a child, they can remember the day when they found out they were pregnant, they were going to give birth, they were going to have a baby. It was a elated day. It was a happy day. It was a day that I'm sure mothers never forget. And this morning, we're going to look at the life of Mary. Mary, if you know, was a mother of several children. But one in particular stood out, and that was Jesus Christ. And what we're going to do, we're going to learn from her experiences. We're going to see what she went through, and we're going to appreciate what mothers do. Amen? The Bible says that when Mary found out that she was with child, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Bible says she was elated. She was happy. She was so happy, so privileged that she composed one of the greatest or one of the most beautiful songs that were ever written. That song is called in the Bible, the Magnificat. And she starts off by saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Mary was was happy. She was elated. Her pregnancy was unique. She was a virgin, and an angel appeared to her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born in you, and that Holy One will be called the Son of God." Amen. That angel went on to tell her that that son you will bear will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. He will possess the throne of David. He will reign all over Israel. His reign will last forever. It will never cease. The child that you're carrying in your stomach will be called the Son of God. About 9 months later, Mary gives birth to Jesus, God in the flesh. She gives birth to a perfect child. She's on cloud nine. She is happy. She feels that she has no worries, no complaints. She's just thinking how good her future looks, how good things are going to be. If you and I would look at her life at this point, giving birth to a perfect child, in our minds, in our carnal minds, we would say, Mary has it made. Mary has an easy life. The Son of God is her son. I don't know about you, just about every parent thinks every now and then that if I had the perfect child, if I had the perfect child, I would have nothing to worry about. I mean, let's be honest. When you had your first child, your second or third, you were hoping that that child would be perfect. Give you no problems. Do what you said. Be the president of the United States. You would say, if I had a perfect child, everything in my life would be easy. But you know, Mary had a perfect child. She had the Son of God. But yet she had one of the toughest motherhoods around in all of the Bible. Her motherhood was full of joys and sorrows, highs and lows, praises and pains, sufferings and sorrows. Many times we're guilty of looking at families on the outside. We look at motherhood on the outside. We don't really know what's going on. We look at a mother and the children. We see her with her husband. We think they got it made. We look at the children. They're dressed nice. Their hair is combed. Their clothes are matching. The shoes are matching. They're riding around in a nice, expensive stroller. We look at mothers and their children. We see them in Sunday school. We see them in church. We're seeing them going to the best schools, and we think they haven't made. But the reality of it is, no matter how hard we try to make things perfect, we live in a fallen world. No matter how good your child is, no matter how well-behaved your child is, you are a mother is going to be presented with challenges. There are going to be some heartaches. There are going to be some setbacks. There is no motherhood without worry. There's no motherhood without stress. Amen. Even if you have the perfect child. Let's look at Mary's life, her timeline of her motherhood. Let's see all what she endured. When Jesus was about 40 days old, he was taken to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. When he arrived at this temple, there was a righteous and devout man named Simeon. He was a man of God. And Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he held Jesus tightly. And he prophesied and he said that Jesus would be a blessing to many. But on the other hand, many will oppose him. He prophesied that the sword would pierce through the soul of Jesus. But he also prophesied that the sword would pierce through the soul of Mary. And what he was telling Mary is that you have this beautiful baby. You have this wonderful child, but your motherhood is going to be full of pain and full of suffering. So much so, you're going to feel as if the sword has gone through your soul. At the age of 2, Herod the king began searching for Jesus, the king of Jews. He issues an order that all males under the age of 2 that are living in Bethlehem, they are to be killed. As a result of his order, about 30 to 50 toddler boys are put to death. But an angel comes to Joseph in a dream, tells him to take his family and go to Egypt and to stay there until Herod dies. It's a tremendous amount of stress for a mother, knowing that somebody has put a contract out on your child. But she has a perfect child. But the perfect child lives in a fallen world.
Amen.
Let's fast forward 10 years. Joseph and Mary and Jesus are traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem. They're going to the feast of the Passover. And when the Passover had ended, Joseph and Mary make their way back to Nazareth. They think that Jesus is with them. They think that Jesus is with some friends and family on this caravan. But they soon discover that Jesus is not with them. Jesus, they can't find them any kind of where. So they go back to Jerusalem. And they see Jesus sitting in the temple, asking questions, giving words of wisdom. And the Bible says for the first recorded time, Mary mildly rebukes Jesus. Tells Jesus that she and her father, that Joseph and her have been looking for him. They've been looking all over. There's no parenting without anxiety. There's no parenting without stress. Children will do the unexpected. From the age of 12 to the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he was about 30, somewhere in between, Mary becomes a widow. Joseph, her husband, dies. Mary is now a single parent. She has 4 sons and several daughters to raise. Life for her has become difficult. She is now responsible for everything. Fast forward 3 years at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was anointed to preach the good news to the poor, set the captives free, give sight to the blind, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, not everybody was happy. Many people thought he had lost his mind. The religious authorities, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wanted to seize him and put him to death. The Bible says that people in his town of Nazareth, where he grew up, that small little town, they mocked him, they criticized him, they disowned Jesus. And to make matters worse, Jesus' own family almost disowned him. Jesus' own family thought that he had lost his mind. The Bible says that his brothers and sisters did not believe him. They thought he was weird. They thought he was strange. They thought something was wrong with him. And the Bible says this, that not only did the brothers and sisters think something was wrong, Mary, his own mother, thought something was wrong. And Mary, as a mother of Jesus, of this perfect child, had to hear people, friends, family, her own children ridicule Jesus. She had to hear them call him all sorts of names. She had to hear about the rumors and plots of people trying to kill Jesus. A lot of of us think Mary had it made, but Mary had it very, very tough. It wasn't easy for her to be a mother. It's not easy for anybody to be a mother. Now we get to our passage. Jesus is dying on the cross. At the foot of the cross, there's the mother of Jesus, Mary, three other women, and John, the beloved disciple. They were at this cross. They were close enough to see and hear anything. They were close enough to touch Jesus. Mary was close enough to hear all the taunting that was going on while Jesus was on the cross, how he can save everyone but himself. Mary could see and hear the crowds passing down this road, looking at Jesus with scorn as if he was some type of criminal. She could see the Roman soldiers gambling for his clothes. She could see the two thieves on both sides of Jesus. She saw his face. She could see his wounds. She could see the bleeding. She could see the agony upon Jesus' face. And I don't know about you, my heart goes out to Mary. For some mother to see that, she had to be hurting. She had to be in some type of pain. But the good news is that what Mary went through helps out mothers all around, helps us all out. What Mary went through and what she did, it teaches us that good mothers have a steadfast devotion for their children. In other words, they stick with their children through thick or thin. They don't leave their sides. You got to remember, in Jesus' ministry, he fed thousands. He healed thousands. Miracle after miracle. Blessing after blessing. And all of these people had turned away. They were nowhere to be found when Jesus was at the cross. But Mary was there. Other women was there. And John was there. Mary showed her love by staying with Jesus. And at this time, she was believing that Jesus was the Messiah. So she stands strong in the face of hostility. She stands strong when crowds are mocking Jesus. She stands strong when Jesus is being crucified like a criminal. And that demonstrates how much love a mother has for a son, how much love a mother has for her children. Mary at the cross teaches us that mothers ought to be strong for their children. Mothers are special. God has given mothers great strength. Being a mother is one of the difficult assignments that a woman will ever accept. It's so difficult, a man wants nothing to do with motherhood. Being a mother is no job for a weak person. Somebody said that if motherhood was going to be easy, it would have never started with something like labor. Mary was strong in two ways. She was courageous at the cross. Just by standing there, that close to Jesus, it put her life in jeopardy. She could have been accused of the same things that Jesus was being accused for. She could have been ridiculed and scorned just like Jesus, but she chose to stay there. She was courageous. And I know what you're asking. This is Mother's Day, so I can say it. Where were the men at the cross? The Bible records just one. But what about the disciples? Big, bold Peter. Where was doubting Thomas? Where was James? Where were the disciples? Scattered, frightened. They had run away. Men, I know some of us are very courageous, but we don't have the monopoly on courage. There are some women in this world who show courage like few men do, especially mothers. You know, I did some research, and you know, mothers have fought off wild animals to protect their children, polar bears and mountain lions, all kind of animals to protect their child. You know, women have run into burning houses to pull their children out and rescue them. Do you know mothers have taken bullets, countless bullets, for their children? You know, mothers have fought off thieves to protect their children. A lot of women have even died protecting their children. The amount of love that a mother has for their children, only God knows. The lengths that a mother will go to protect their children, only God knows. Mary at the cross teaches us that to be willing to suffer, mothers must be willing to suffer for their children. Suffer with their children also. It was difficult for Mary to be there. It was difficult to watch her son suffer so much. I'm sure when he looked upon him, when he hurt, she hurt. When he pained, she pained. When he suffered, she suffered. I'm sure she was feeling everything that he was feeling. But the Bible says that she didn't get hysterical. She wasn't crying uncontrollably. But she went through it silently. She showed a sense of a silent strength as she suffered with Jesus. And I know when she was at that cross, she began to think about what Simeon said, that the sword will pierce her soul also. And when she was at the cross watching what her son was going through, her soul was being pierced by that sword. I can only imagine all of what Mary went through. Being a mother is a great experience. It's a happy occasion. But we have to be realistic. When mothers have a child, when a child comes into the family, there's a risk of great suffering. There's a risk of great pain. Some of the mothers here today have buried a child. What a sense of painful, how painful that is. Others have seen their children very sick. How painful is that? Many mothers here work long hours to care for and provide for their child. How difficult is that? Many of us have experienced the heartbreak of a rebellious child. You tried to raise them the right way, but yet they still went the wrong way. There is suffering in being a mother. It's not easy. People take it for granted. People look on the outside and see how easy it looks, but it's a difficult thing. It's one of the most difficult things any person can do. But the good news, there's a reward. There are rewards to come when you are raising a child. So don't let that suffering or those setbacks keep you from enjoying that motherhood. Suffering may just be part of being a parent. Now, I want every son or daughter here today, whether young and old, I want you to appreciate all of what Mary has gone through. And the reason why I want you to appreciate it is because your mother has gone through the same thing. Your mother has been devoted to you. Your mother has been strong for you. Your mother has been courageous for you. Your mother has suffered for you. Your mother, my mother, is worthy of honor and respect, obedience, and love. And the question is that how does a son or daughter respond to all of what a mother has done for us? Jesus gives us a perfect example. He loved and honored his mother to the very end. He never stopped. In this passage, it's amazing to see Jesus' love for his mother. Even when he was experiencing great suffering on the cross. He's on the cross, but yet loves, he's loving his mother. The other day, I was in my bathroom barefooted, and we have a scale in our bathroom. It's not a round scale. It's not a padded scale. It's a scale that's made of glass, and it has four sharp corners. Four sharp corners. And me walking barefooted, I hit one of those corners. You imagine the pain that I was in? I hit that thing so hard, my foot started bleeding. When I had that pain, I wasn't thinking about Sherry. I wasn't thinking about my kids. I wasn't thinking about Mother's Day. I wasn't thinking about the church. All I was concerned about was the pain that was in my foot. But thank God I'm not like Jesus. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, when he was in the midst of his suffering and his pain, he thought about other people. He cared about other people. First thing, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Told the thief, today you will be in paradise with me. He spoke to his mother as he hung on the cross. He was worried about his mother. He was worried about what's going to happen to him when he's no longer there. Who's going to provide for her? Who's going to give her shelter? She was going to be she was a widow already. She was not going to have somebody to provide for her. He doesn't want to forget about his mother, so he speaks words of encouragement to her. The Bible says that he looked from the cross, saw the suffering on her face, saw the tears on her eyes. And he said this, he said, woman, behold your son. I believe that Jesus gives us an application. A lot of times we may think that Jesus is too busy or God is too busy to answer our prayers. He's too busy to care about us. But by Jesus caring for others on the cross, by caring for the Roman soldiers, by caring for the thieves, by caring for his mother, lets us know that no matter how busy we think he is, no matter how much we think he's going through, what's on his mind, he still has time to care about you and me. Amen. Jesus tells us that as a son or a daughter, as our parents get older, we ought to make time to care for them. We ought to check up on them. We ought to continue to show love for them. We ought to continue to honor them, amen, especially in their time of need. Let me share something with you. Mothers are special, but I had a good father. I had a great father. I love my father. He left us in 2000. I had the best father I could imagine. But fathers, they know how to say no. Mothers haven't quite learned how to say no. And I thank mothers for that. I remember in high school, I was playing tennis, and I wanted a Arthur Ashe tennis racket. I go to my father, no. I go to my mother, yes. That racket back then in 1977 cost $35. Doesn't sound like much then. That was a whole lot of money back then. I remember in high school, I wanted to take tennis lessons. I wanted to be a good tennis player. Tennis lessons were $7.50 a half hour. I was going to go to Dorsey High School, take lessons. I go to my father, he told me, just hit on the wall. He told me, no. I go to my mother, she tells me, yes. For the next 6 weeks, I get a weekly lesson of tennis. And I don't know if y'all remember, but $7.50 a half hour in 1977 was a lot of money. I don't know if my mother even made more than that, much more than that. And then I remember in high school, it took me to high school to get my first pair of leather shoes. As long as my father bought my shoes, I had the four-stripe fake vinyl Adidas shoes. As long as my father bought my shoes, I had those blue Purcell canvas tennis shoes. But I got tired at 11th grade of wearing those cheap shoes. My feet were hurting. They weren't lasting. I go to my father. Guess what he says? No. I go to my mother. She says yes. And at 11th grade, I had my first leather shoes, leather Nike shoes. That's because of my mother. Mothers are special.
Amen.
I remember as a young child, I went into a store back in Los Angeles called Thrifty's. I don't know if you remember, but Thrifty's store, and they have ice cream, and they have triple decker and all that kind of stuff. And I went in there to get a chocolate ice cream. And the man said, we don't have chocolate ice cream. I'm going to give you this. So he gave me Rocky Road. I don't like Rocky Road. I wanted chocolate. So guess what I did? I went back in the car and told my mama. Guess what my mama did? She went back in there. I ain't saying what she did was right. But I guarantee you, he'd never do that again. Mothers are special. When your child gets sick, who do they run to? My kids, they don't run to me. They go right past me, go straight to their mother. She give them anything they want. What you need? How can I help you? Stay with me. Get in the bed with me. All that kind of stuff. Sometimes a mother will say yes, even to a fault. Jesus is telling us in the story, never forget your mother. Never forget to appreciate her. Never forget the sacrifices that were made, the suffering that she's gone. Don't take your mother for granted. Don't disrespect her. Don't dishonor her in any kind of way. The Bible says that not only did Jesus see his mother, see the suffering, he spoke words to her. He said, woman, behold your son. Woman, behold your son. Do you know Mary is suffering right now? Do you know how good it is for her to hear her son speak to her in the midst of her suffering? Do you know that just lightened up her spirit, even though he was suffering, she was suffering, but for him to be on the cross and for Jesus to speak to her, it just eased her burden a little bit. You know, as mothers get older, they go through a lot of things. Things change. Things don't work like they used to work. Illnesses happen. And you know, for a mother to hear from that child on a regular basis, you know, that means the world to them. You know, I have never called my mother when she did not want to speak to me. She has always wanted to speak to me. And Jesus, in this example, he tells us that we ought to be in constant contact with our mother.
Amen.
I don't care what problems you have. You only got one. So Mary's encouraged. Now in the Bible it says this, he called a woman. I know some of y'all may think that in our day that's disrespectful. But back in Jesus' day it meant either Mrs. or ma'am. And he did it for two reasons. If he would have called her Mary, my mother, with all those people around, the attention would have been drawn to her, and then she would have received the brunt of the scorn, the brunt of the ridicule. So in one sense, he was protecting her. But in the other sense, he was saying this, that I'm about to die, and I will no longer be your son. I am transitioning from your son to your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Mary needed a Savior just like you and me. Jesus says, behold, woman, this is your son. He points to John, the beloved disciple, and said, this is your new son. He will do the things that his son is supposed to do. You see, in those days, the oldest son had the responsibility of taking care of the parent. And so Jesus is transitioning care of Mary into the care of his beloved disciple, John. John is to be the provider and to be the protector. To the very end, Jesus is taking care of his parents, his mother. To the very end, he's honoring his mother. And I know what y'all thinking. You say, well, Jesus had other brothers and sisters. What about them? Well, Jesus had the responsibility to put Mary in the best care possible. His brothers and sisters did not believe in him. In other words, they were not saved. He did not want to put them in an unsaved household. John is called the beloved disciple for a reason. Him and Jesus were close like that. They were almost like brothers. So he knew how John would take care of Jesus. So Jesus gave John the responsibility of taking care of Mary. What does Jesus teach us? Teaches us to appreciate, love our mothers. Not just for 5 minutes. That's just for when you need money. Not for just when you want them to do something for you or to do this or to do that. You're supposed to love your mother and appreciate your mother always. And what always means that you love and appreciate your mother to the very end. That's what he teaches us. We are to love our mothers to the fullest. We ought to try to give back just a portion of what mothers have given us. Look around at your neighbor. Would you look at your neighbor and say, Happy Mother's Day. I appreciate you. May God bless you on this special day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You know, God is so good. He gives us just what we need. We need mothers.